I'm very excited to be talking to Victoria Wyeth today. She and I are going to be doing a Big Brothers Big Sisters event coming up at the Fuge in Warminster on Friday the 14th of November.
I know! How cool!
Have you ever been to one of these nights that they do?
I've never been to... I went and did... they had a wonderful thing for the littles and the bigs. It was like an award ceremony. And that was my first event. And I got to go up and kind of just talk about my little sister and... You know, what she meant to me, which is really cool, but I've never done something really big like this, so I'm very much looking forward to
it. It's really, really, I was there last year, really fun. The food, the silent auction, and the theme is a Star Wars theme this year, so I'm sure there'll be a lot of things that sort of fall into that. But what I didn't know until I found out was that you are actually a big sister, which you just referred to, so this is a very special organization to you, obviously.
It is. Well, she's... It's funny. She does. She gets all upset when I call her my little sister now. She's all grown up. Sarah is now 26 years old. I still see her as this cute little thing. I started mentoring her when she was 11 years old.
Wow. So 15 years later, you still have this relationship. That's great.
It's amazing. You know, it's funny. I think that one of the things that people don't realize when they sign up for this organization, they sign up thinking that they're going to make a difference in someone else's lives. And what you realize is how much your little makes the difference in your life as you get older. And when I, you know, as I got older, and, you know, I don't care who you are, if you're rich, poor, famous, not, life is life, and life can be very painful sometimes, you know, divorce, death, and so forth. And Sarah, my little sister, I mean, she just became my rock. And I always knew when she was a little girl, I always knew that when she got older, it would be so different and fun in a different type of way. But I never had any idea that it would be this fun.
Well, and also, at least in your case, a lifelong relationship.
Yes, she was my maid of honor.
That's fantastic.
I got married a month ago yesterday, and Sarah was my maid of honor and got up and did this speech, and I was hysterically crying.
Do you go in with any credentials, or you just volunteer?
For the Big Brothers program?
Yes, uh-huh.
You mean when I became a mentor?
Yes.
I just went in. I was teaching in her school, and her guidance counselor came up and said, there's a young lady that I think could really benefit from mentoring. Would you be willing? And I was a little nervous at first, and she said, look, you guys are both tomboys. You'll be perfect for each other. And it was amazing, you know, and I just went in. I was 19 years old and had no idea what I was doing, and it just became this, I mean, it really changed me, you know, as a person, seeing what she went through.
You are an only child, right?
I am an only child,
so
yes.
This truly was like having a little sister for you.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, it was just an absolutely life-changing experience.
Now, is your experience typical? Do people usually stick with one little brother or little sister going forward?
From what I understand, I mean, there are all sorts of men. I mean, there are mentors that have stayed in people's lives for 2 years, and there are ones that have done it for 20 years. And what I think the organization really wants people to understand is this should be a lifelong commitment.
Right.
That
mm-hmm.
The kids that are getting mentored need consistency. And if you're going to just drop in their life and drop out, I mean, I'm not going to say don't do it, but, you know, it's not fair. It's a cruel thing.
You have a very famous family name, obviously, the Wyeth family. How did she react? How did your little sister, Sarah, react when she, did she know who you were and
what
your background was?
Well, this was a big battle because I specifically asked her guidance counselor to not tell Sarah who my family was. And of course, they did not listen to me and told her. And so one day I came in and she's like, Andrew Wyeth, your grandfather? I was like, oh. You know, and she's like, that's cool. That means he's my grandfather, too, because I'm your sister.
No.
And it was just such a cool way to think about it. I'm like, yeah, I guess so.
So will you be telling this story? Is this part of what you're going to be doing at the event that's coming up?
Yes, definitely.
Let's talk about your grandfather, Andrew Wyeth. Although we've never met you and I first saw you at one of the docent-type tours that you would do at the Brandywine River Museum, one of my favorite places on Earth, by the way.
Yes.
And it was not too long before your grandfather died, and I remember thinking about you when I heard that news.
I just crashed. You know, his death was... I guess the way I try and explain it is this, is, you know, I really took for granted having him around and just, you know, waking up, going outside to my grandparents' house, seeing him painting. And so when he died, it was just a catastrophic loss for me.
And you were particularly close, right?
Yeah, he was very much like my father. You know, he really kind of treated me like a daughter, stepped in, gave me fatherly advice. And so when he died, to be honest, I didn't realize how badly I needed him in my life. And then when he left and when he passed away, I just lost it. totally lost it. I just did not want to be a functional member of society. And it's so cliche, but time really does heal all wounds. And, you know, it's still tough even 6 years later, but each day gets a little easier.
And you found a way to honor his memory, too, by keeping his stories alive.
I go to schools all over the United States. I've even lectured in Paris. It's a wonderful way for me to remember him. I mean, I love giving the lectures because it sounds ridiculous, but I'll sit there giving a lecture, and I can hear him in my head from when we would do interviews. And my husband thinks I'm insane, but I kind of imagine my grandfather walking in to the room with all the models I'm talking about. And so there, I'll be lecturing a group of 200 people, and then I imagine kind of another 200 deceased people sitting there kind of listening to me. And it works, you know?
There was one story. I think I read this in the paper. Maybe you can verify. Sure. That your grandfather liked to go. He liked to go to the Brandywine when people were there, and he would just sort of hover and listen to what people had to say about his paintings. Is that true? Did he do that?
Yeah. Obviously, you know what a hater is, you know, someone that just sits there and hates. And so he'd sit there and listen to these people just talking crap about him. And it's hysterical. I mean, people, they're terrible. And even I do that with my husband, and my husband has to grab me and kind of like stop me from lunging at them.
Right.
And I just kind of want to look at them and be like, yeah, because what's your painting look like, you know?
Yeah, right. I just love the idea, though, of him standing there while people are dissecting his paintings. Oh, I know what he was thinking here and there. And him just standing back behind them, you know, just
not
laughing.
Not just dissecting, saying how much they hate him. And he would just laugh hysterically.
Yeah.
He always told me, like, when I was in high school, I went to this terrible all-girls school, and these nasty girls would bully me, and I'd go home, you know, and I'd sobbing, crying, and he'd say, honey, it's like my critics. He said, when they stop teasing you, that's why you have to, when you have to worry, because that means you're just as boring as they are, which I think is such a brilliant way to look at bullying.
To turn it around, yeah. One more story, verify or not. Your grandfather was sitting in a car at the Brandywine River Museum, and a guard came up and knocked and says, you can't sit here. And he said, but I'm Andrew Wyeth. And the guard is like, yeah, right. Did that ever happen?
Oh, my God, that's so funny. I mean, I heard stuff like that on the highway. I mean, you got to understand, Andy thought that he had, like, the magic school bus, you know, for a car that could just go anywhere.
Right.
So my grandfather, first of all, would pull into people's private driveways that they're painting, inevitably get locked out of the car. And so, you know, they'd have to knock on their door. He'd knock on their door and ask, sure, you're Andrew Wyeth. Or he'd be stopped on the side of the road, and the police would come up and stop him. Oh, but I'm, yeah, right. You know, but I love it. I think that's what made Andy Andy. And as I was saying, like, this is the stuff that I just miss so much.
Yeah. So I read that you're a photographer. Is that your career these days?
Actually, I give lectures on my grandfather and my uncle for a living, and I work at a state psychiatric hospital as a research assistant for a forensic psychiatrist there.
Wow. Okay.
So my background is actually in clinical psych with a specialty in forensics.
Wow. You've got all kinds of surprises here. That's so CSI.
I wanted to go to graduate school and do something that was different than my family. Do you know what I mean? When you have such a famous family, it's tough. You want to distinguish yourself, and I can't paint. So I found psychology. I loved it. I went to grad school, and it's great. I get to kind of turn off Wyeth and you know, kind of put the academic hat on for a little bit.
I'm really looking forward to meeting you, and congratulations on your marriage.
Thank you so much.
Again, we'll see you in a couple of weeks at the Evening for Kids' Sake at the Fuge.
I'm really looking forward to it. Debbie, you're amazing. Thank you.